Blog Talk Radio.
Weather today in the greater Cincinnati area.
I love you so badly.
They're solid plastic, so don't settle for imitation.
But the senator, while insisting he was not intoxicated, could not explain his nudity.
Welcome to Ringside Wrap,
a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on major pro wrestling and MMA promotions, the occasional history lesson, and interviews with legends of yesterday and stars of today. And now the GWH Radio Network presents Ringside Wrap.
Welcome again, everyone, to Ringside Wrath. It is Wednesday, June 27th, 2012, 8 o'clock daylight time here on the East Coast. I am Mike Sempervivi, joined on the line, as always, by the legendary Les Thatcher. And tonight, coming up at about 8:30, going to have on one of the recent Hall of Fame inductees for the WWE over WrestleMania weekend. Tully Blanchard will be joining us. Ducking out a little fundraiser that he's actually at right now to join us coming up, and that's going to be at 8:30. But Les, how are you this week?
I'm tired as hell, Mike. That's how I am. I had my first client at the gym at 6 o'clock this morning, and I've got my first one tomorrow morning at 5:30. So if I fall asleep on you, just go on. You hear me snoring or something, just go on without me.
No problem. Yes, I was thinking that because I'm kind of in the same boat here and leading into what's going to be a longer rest of the week here coming up. We may talk out a little early tonight, folks, so you know, don't hate us for that. And don't forget, everyone, too, we're going to be off next week because it is the 4th of July, and God knows we could actually use a week off, but we're going to be back to normal after that. But, Les, you know, one thing that I was thinking about this because I caught the very beginning of Lance Storm's show with Brian Alvarez. I hadn't had a chance to hear it yet, but he was talking about the fact he was able to see NXT and Full Sail University, the tapings that are going on there, which now have Jim Ross and William Regal doing commentary. And I was looking at the roster that they have because I'd forgotten about the show just because it's not very good. There were people on there I didn't want to see. But I was looking at the roster that they have now, and, you know, Chris Hero, Ricky Steamboat Jr., Tyler Black, the Rotundas, Sterling James Keenan, Consequences Creed, APOC, they have guys now that they are focusing on, and Derek Bateman is still on the show, and there's some other guys as well who they've had in the system, but this seems like the first time that they have had guys who have been legitimate independent names and guys who, at least to one level or another, worked their craft and traveled and did, you know, what they needed to do to try to come up basically in the older school way, or at least a different way than how WWE takes up guys now. I'm not sure if you've seen the lineup or anything like that, and obviously it's still going to be a WWE show, but with that kind of roster and the mentality of focusing on the CM Punks and the Daniel Bryans a little bit more, who, again, worked their craft and had a chance to learn their craft in different ways and in just a different way than the WWE wants. Do you have any interest at all in maybe checking out NXT or paying more of attention to it? Because I actually think I do, after so many years of not caring or so many seasons of not caring at all about it.
Yeah, I stopped watching it halfway through the first season. And haven't even ventured there since, and for the reason it was just so silly, and you know it just you know it really said nothing about, you know, what the premise, you know, what it was supposed to be. It wasn't, basically, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Yeah, I heard Lance, too. I always listen to Lance. It's like talking to a mirror. Only a mirror that's about 30 years younger than me. Yeah, we agree very 99% of the time on everything. I don't even know what the hell station it's on or what night it's on anymore, Mike, to be honest with you. I don't know if I have access to it here in Cincinnati or not.
I'm ashamed to say it. I don't know if it's just an internet-only show. I have no clue.
If it's just an internet-only, I won't watch it because I venture, you know, guys send me links to matches, and honestly, I wish they'd send me disc. I don't have an attention span for that computer screen. Even though I've got a 20-inch flat screen, I'm not interested sitting there watching it on a computer when I can, you know, watch something on my TV. But, when I listened to Lance talking about it, a lot of it made sense, too, and that he would prefer his kids watch that than he would watch the watch Raw or SmackDown. And I'm thinking Ross and Regal. So basically the best broadcast team the company has is on the least show, basically. Right? I mean, which doesn't make a lot of sense, but then if we're talking common sense, we probably aren't really talking about professional wrestling as we know it today.
Well, hey, talk about damning with faint praise. At least with being on NXT, it's maybe a show that Vince won't pay attention to, which he leaves his hands off of it. It will let them actually be as good as I know Lance, you know, said that they are. You know, two guys actually talking about the guy in the ring and not his shortcomings or making fun of him or snickering.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the showbiz thing is gone beyond. You know, Lance also made some good points, which I'll touch on too, about Raw. You know, I heard one reporter say it was a solid show, and I thought, wow, he must have seen something different than I saw. And somebody said, well, I could just watch Punk and Daniel Bryan. I don't care how many times they put them on. And I thought, well, somebody better care because the shelf life. Everybody's got a shelf life, and if you know, when I saw the three of them come out, I thought, okay, here's the 37th annual running of this particular three-way match, which, honestly, Glenn or Kane has stepped up, to work with these guys. And it's not that bad, but, you know, if you keep doing it over and over and over and over and over, then who do you sell it to? And why do I pay $50 to watch it when I've watched it for free five times anyway? And it's not that, you know, Bryan and Punk aren't good, but they aren't that good. You know, I mean, I don't want to see them, you know, every week on that show because they can't change, you know, they can't change what they do up that much on a weekly basis. And the whole stupid Cena Star Wars thing was, I totally agree 100% with Lance. He made what was somebody half-assed tried to sell as a serious problem with Laurinaitis into a total joke. It just poo-pooed it basically, which would be his words, not mine. And then when Jericho called him on it and said, "Sound like a 9-year-old," and he said, "Well, that's who watches our show." And I thought, "Gee, then why am I watching it?"
Yeah.
I don't watch Saturday morning cartoons any longer either, unless my 10-year-old granddaughter's here, you know, and then I'm forced to. I have no choice, you know. But I mean, how many times have you heard me say in recent weeks or months, do they listen to what they're saying themselves? I mean, they do more to turn you off to their product, or they. It becomes a parody of itself. You know, like John Cena's doing a parody of a wrestling promo, which is not to say that there were a couple things that were probably funny. I've seen Star Wars, but it's not something I've watched 20 times. But and in another circumstance, it might have been funny. But, he just trivialized the entire Laurinaitis run. So, I, you know, it's... And then, of course, Swagger, excuse me, when I saw Santino come out, and with Swagger, I thought, Jesus, the champion is going to lose again, and should. But the problem was the champion didn't lose, and then they'll wonder why Swagger has no teeth. You know, why nobody cares about him.
Honestly, I swear, if you didn't want to be conspiratorial, you would almost think, you know what, they can't make fun of Jim Ross every week, but they can make fun of his bully or something like that, because, you know, there's a lot of limitations to Jack Swagger, and I'm one of his bigger supporters, and I'll be the first to admit that. But to have a role where he's placed, and again, it's not just him, but he's a really good example, because you don't hear about him getting in trouble or being with the wrong woman like a Drew McIntyre, or busting up a hotel room, or, you know, with some of the excuses you can make for some guys. Not sure exactly what it is with Swagger, but it's like he could fill a role far better than what he's doing. Dolph Ziggler is another one, and they waste it. And really, with Swagger, it's almost comedic to the point of, why else would you be doing this?
Well, you know, here, whether you're the best worker or the worst worker, you know, the least talent or the best talent, it's how you're packaged, how you're presented, how you are booked, who you work with. All those things are extremely important as well. And to the company right now, at least on the surface, it seems that none of those things are actually important at all. You know, at least in their mind's eye. If you try to make any sense of Sheamus coming out in the middle of the Swagger Del Rio thing and said, "Hey, I'm so cool, and I'm John Cena with a brogue. You guys stop what you're doing, and I'm going to beat the hell out of both of you. You know, instead of actually letting you beat the hell out of each other and me taking what's left." I mean, I'm thinking, where is there any logic to any of that? You know, and so if he beats them both, then you've whatever. It's just, but I mean, that whole thing made no sense. And then the way they had that thing on the pole, how many times did one of those guys actually could have had it and waited for the other guy to pull him down? And I thought, Jesus, somebody should spell timing for you fellas. And then they're fighting for it on the ground, which honestly they did a better job of that than I expected to see. But, you know, it's just... It's showbiz, Mike, and I don't know what else the hell to call it. You know, it's suspending one's disbelief. I don't even think really plays into it anymore, and or at least not to the people writing this and those who are saying what the writers are putting together makes sense.
Well, now that Charlie Sheen's going to be around, you know, he'll change everything.
Charlie Sheen may be more sane than the people that are putting this show together. That's the scary part.
Yeah, really. Speaking of relative insanity, and I obviously know we didn't get a chance to talk about this because it happened after we did our show last week. And we're going to be going up to a break here in like 5 minutes anyway, but just to start up with it, TNA, who has been doing some things right, Dave Meltzer actually made a reference to he thought how the Dixie Carter thing went at the end of the show. He brought up Mackenzie Phillips from One Day at a Time, who a lot of people will remember that are listening to this show, remember that show, or at least saw it in reruns like I did, where, you know, that's almost exactly what that woman was supposed to be. He's exactly right. Except for the acting, just the whole thing, was that the most, I don't know, that's, to me, that angle's got to end there, and it ends with a resounding thud. But is there any way to do anything else with that, or should that just die and go away? And do you think that's what the point of it was?
I thought it was the most stupid thing. I mean, it was just totally... Well, you know, it comes back to... I'm doing charity work, honey, but I can't tell you. I have to sneak around to do it. And the other part of the charity work is if you actually have any knowledge of logistics, Dixie Carter and AJ Styles live thousands of miles apart. So how often could they sneak out in the middle of the night on their spouses to go help this girl? I mean, did they jump on planes or charter a bus or something to show up somewhere else? And it's just and she played, you know, bless her heart, the girl played it poorly, and it was such a, I don't know, and the whole thing with AJ up to this point each week saying, oh, I just can't, you know, it's getting to me, I can't. Why? I mean, why are you, you know, for me it's to say, look, I'm helping somebody get over an addiction or, you know, whatever, however you want to say it, and, you know, that's my only sin, if that's a sin. And why would that affect him in the ring? I mean, it's not like he's got somebody pregnant that he's not married to, or he himself has some deep, dark secret. I mean, my God, it was just, and the only hope is that it is over, but obviously it's not.
We'll throw it to break here, but I'll be willing, if it dies and goes away, I'll be willing to take this as, the pitch, okay, not even on my ass, a little lower than that, a little bit painful, almost on the knee, from Bruce Pritchard, because things have been at least going towards a correct path, at least, again, even if you don't like the stories, at least some things are slowing down, and there seems to be more sanity in that company than ever before. So please, if you're listening to TNA, because you go live tomorrow night, please listen to us and end this, and we'll go to break here and be back on Ringside Wrap.
Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Hi, I'm Jody Peterman. We know that no one understands what you need better than you do. We take care to guide you through the legal process, ensuring that you're able to make the decisions that are best for you. If you have a personal injury, criminal, or family law issue, please take a look at our website to learn more about our practice. We offer a free initial consultation for personal injury cases. Give us a call at 229-375-5680. We have a reputation for being accessible and treating our clients well. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hello, I'm Guy Terry of Terry and Peterman. At Terry and Peterman, we're committed to representing the hardworking residents of South Georgia in personal injury, criminal, and family law matters. For years, we have worked with college students in this area to ensure legal issues do not disrupt their academic careers. We also represent military families struggling with divorce and family law issues. We rely upon over 30 years of combined experience to provide aggressive representation for our clients.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Champions of Wrestling. Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling at the Academy Theater in Avondale State. We're also at the Masquerade every month or so. Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Championship Wrestling. And you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling.
We get it. That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
All right, we're back here on Ringside Wrap, the legendary Les Thatcher, along with me, Mike Sempervivi. In about 10 minutes or so, we got former Four Horsemen member and current WWE Hall of Fame member Tully Blanchard coming up to talk to us for a little while. And Les, I can hear Brutal Bob Evans right now somewhere in the Northeast there, the jumping up and down, just wondering if we're going to talk about ROH Best in the World, which took place this past Sunday.
I thought you were going to talk about Taylor Hendricks, and he would rather that I said something positive about Taylor and try to take the veil off of poor Dave Meltzer's eyes. And Jeez.
Well, hey, you know what? Let's talk about that because, you know,
I've worked with Taylor. Taylor's a good now. I will tell you the problems that I saw watching that match. First of all, she's more comfortable as a heel. Second of all, and again, I'm not excusing it. I'm just telling you what I saw because I know her and I've worked with her. She was nervous and she oversold several things that Tara did, which, you know, if I have to grade her down, I grade her down on those particular things. Another reason I say she was nervous, and maybe I don't know if you caught it or not, when they first came back to air on the live camera, the lights hadn't come up yet, and she threw she did her AJ Styles impersonation by throwing her hood off, and then realized that they weren't, you know, and then she did it all over again, which is the first indication to me that, you know, that she. But I'll tell you what, she's a conscientious young lady. She has a tremendous amount of respect for the business. She works hard, and she is, you know, obviously not consistently because that was not the best match I've ever seen her have. But she sends me links to shows all the time. Well, not all, you know, not like every day or anything, but, you know, to get my feedback, and I'm sure she does with Bob. And at least she shows respect for the business and the people, which Joey Ryan, and then David said she didn't think she was good looking at all. Jesus, David, you need to get out more often. I really, she's attractive.
That's where I say the same thing, and I was stunned by that. But I noticed right off the bat too. The first thing was the nervousness because of the hood thing, and you know there is she is more comfy as a heel. That's how she's been working. Certainly in Ohio Valley, you can understand her being nervous. There's aesthetic issues, and granted, Victoria is, and I'm saying this in a positive way, a thick woman, but it does show what, you know, there are going to be aesthetic things that she's going to need to do, you know, body-wise and things like that as it goes along, too. But to say that she was unattractive is ludicrous to me, and I think unfair because I would say give her the shot because as long as, to me, you're not featuring her, as long as Danny Davis is still with her in OPW and she keeps working indies, I think it's a good idea because at least that's going to be the only way she gets national shine and can pluck knowledge from Victoria and Gail Kim and people like that who have been around. You know, even the Sarah Stock, I don't know if Sarita's still there, but her experiences in Canada and Mexico, it just to be around that I think will be a good thing for her. So I would actually say give her the job. I was stunned with what David said.
You know, here's food for thought, too. Again, I was no fan of the way Joey Ryan got in Taz's face or Al Snow's, and I'll never be a fan of that. I don't care if it's a work or a shoot. But with both of these, now I didn't see the first gut check, so I won't make a comment on that. But with both these kids, the one thing, you know, and here again, Lance had mentioned when he was talking about NXT that the one of the reasons he preferred his kids watch that because they tried to imitate what they saw on Raw, and they're not ready for that. And the thing I was thought when I watched Taylor too is the superficial thought with so many of these young people is that whole wave my arms in the air, make a face, throw my kick my leg up, you know, grab myself in the crowd, you know, whatever is more important than my work, and it's not. It's not. And that, you know, Ryan was trying to get that over before he ever sold his wares in terms of his work, and so was she. And that, you know, to me, you know, if I put myself in the announcer seat, I would have preferred, you know, to have sold the kid, either one of those kids is, you know, they obviously see the, you know, the seriousness of this situation for them tonight, you know. There's no, you know, they're not trash talking or any, you know, they're buckling down and getting to work, you know, to prove their worth between those ropes. And you know, but I can't speak for Taylor or Joey Ryan, but I'm thinking, you know, in coupling that what Lance said, you know, when he and Brian were talking about NXT, and I said, yeah, okay, because I see that when I go out to some indie shows, that all these, you know, kids are worried about their hand signals and all that, and once the bell rings, it's over. Wow, this guy, you know, he's got a great presence getting to the ring, getting in the ring, and his introduction, but then they see some of that stuff too. I watched when I watched Evans and Eddie Edwards, I thought, Eddie, if you turn and nod your head to the audience one more time, Bob has every right to bury his foot in your ass. I mean, seriously, it was a distraction, and it was disrespectful. But it's, you know, but now if somebody's watching him who's been their world champion, who I think's a damn good worker, it's just that he stopped working and become an entertainer. And, you know, so all that, I guess the point I'm making here is, you know, maybe she thought this is as important as what we do once the bell rings. And it obviously should not be. You know, of course, I'm not a judge on gut check, but to me, you know, I'm certainly not going to judge them on that.
Well, it's tough to do in 2 minutes. And I'm actually, after we talked to Tully, I got a question about, not in defense of Joey Ryan, but I'll do that after Tully.
I will start snoring and go to sleep.
No, because it's a real basic thing, too. It's more your opinion on if he had to defend himself at all, because he would still try to have a career somewhere else, but looking at it as a national TV failure. But it's kind of more in defense of, you know, machismo than anything. But when it comes to Taylor, was it just a clutch of, or even in Joey Ryan's case or Sylvia's too, clutches of what they do on the indies where they just, now they're on a big stage and they went back to what they clutch on the indies?
Yeah, I heard that, you know, a couple people were positive on her appearance down there that are in the company. I mean, I haven't talked to anybody, but that's, you know, that's what I heard. I'll be curious to see how the judges score this. And, of course, you know, that's the thing, too, Mike. You got to realize with our business, since it is not a shoot, it is extremely subjective.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
you can sit two people side by side, and they can have two totally different opinions of watching the same, you know, the same person.
And that could be a case with her tomorrow night, because for those who are unaware, Al Snow is, you know, I don't know if he owns it, or at least Al Snow is involved with Ohio Valley, so he's...
No, he doesn't. No, Danny Davis is the sole owner at Ohio Valley.
The sole owner, okay, so Al is just helping and training and
yeah.
being there? Okay, well, that's... With that, he's at least had a chance to see Taylor and see how she's done, because she has been a standout on OVW for what the show is today, for those who haven't seen it, and she has been solid in what she's been doing. So at least she'll have that, whereas Bruce Pritchard and Taz or whoever they use, that may have been the first time, for all intents and purposes, that they've had a chance to see her in the ring. So that is one thing, at least, you know, it depends on how they work that and everything. But at least she'll have that going for her if Al Snow's one of the judges. Going to be going to break here right now, and a little bit of our longer break of the evening. And then when we come back from that, former Four Horsemen member, I guess you're a Four Horsemen member. You're a Four Horsemen for life. Tully Blanchard is going to be on joining us. So be back with that after this.
Hi, I'm Vince Gill for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Real life's not a song. In less than it takes to play my latest hit, someone will be killed or injured in an alcohol-related crash. So next time you're out with someone who's been drinking, don't let them take the wheel. Take the keys instead. Sad stories make great songs, but happy endings make better lives. That's why friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi, NBA forward Kevin Durant from the Oklahoma City Thunder. Here with Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck to remind you to get moving every day.
Because when you get moving an hour a day,
you'll have more energy to do the things you like to do.
And that's a slam dunk.
Whether you like to shoot hoops like me, skateboard, ride a bike,
or dance on your roof,
be a player.
Get up, play, and move it your way.
Head online to get tips on great ways to get moving every day.
Check out how to be a player at letsmove.gov. A message from the Ad Council and HHS.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
How can we help our kids prepare for the future? Hey, I'm Shelley Wright. I don't have to tell you that children face pretty tough challenges these days. It can be hard to keep them involved in their schoolwork. We adults need to make sure our kids find something in school that really sparks their interest, like music. Not only is music in school fun, but studies show that kids who learn music find science and math concepts a little easier to grasp, and that they show significant increases in self-esteem and thinking skills. And music and creativity go together, too. Your school music teacher can tell you all about it. So help prepare your children for life. Encourage them to learn to love music.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
Janine Marks, a 12-year-old, was fairly normal. She spent a lot of time online. One day, she met a new friend. The new friend had the same problems at home. They liked the same bands. They worried about the same subjects in school. They promised to keep each other's secrets. They wished they went to the same junior high. The new friend had good news. He said he was going to be in Janine's area one Saturday. He thought it would be amazing if they could just hang out, go to the mall. Janine agreed. The new friend didn't want parents messing this up. Janine showed up alone. So did her new friend, who wasn't in junior high, wasn't nice, and wasn't a 14-year-old boy. Every day, children are sexually solicited online. Help delete online predators. Call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com to learn how to protect your kids' online life. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back here on Ringside Wrap, the legendary Les Thatcher, along with me, Mike Sempervivi, and we're very happy to have on right now legendary professional wrestler, founding member of the Four Horsemen, and recent inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame, Mr. Tully Blanchard. Tully, how are you this evening?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Good, Tully. Congratulations on the Hall of Fame, but first, a belated condolences for your dad's passing. I really had a lot of respect for Joe, and when I was just a green kid and got to work for Barnett in the early 60s, he was a big help to me.
Well, Les, thank you, and you've always been a friend, and bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Tully,
Michael?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
We had James J. Dillon on not long ago, who, by the way, just turned 70 years old a couple of days ago, so happy birthday, JJ, if you're listening. And
I knew he was older than me.
I tell you what, though, after seeing, you know, pictures of him at the Hall of Fame induction, he looks like he's actually regressed in age years somehow. Like, all the stretch is wearing away from him as the years go on. But we had a chance to talk to him about the Hall of Fame weekend and the whole nine yards. What did you think about it? How was it for you?
Oh, it was... I'm not really sure you could put words to it. the impact of what WrestleMania and the Hall of Fame induction and the fan access all rolled into one big event is just it's really a little bit overwhelming. I never, when the days when I used to carry Les Thatcher's bag into the arena when I was just a little kid, and you never would have thought that in downtown Miami you would see a banner on every light pole in downtown that would have WrestleMania 28 on it, and you know, pictures of all the stars and all that kind of stuff. Even when we did the War Games in the Orange Bowl in Miami, you know, you never thought that wrestling would have gotten to that degree of magnitude, and just to be part of that was overwhelming. And then when you consider the fact that I got to bring my four children, and they had never been part of, you know, they weren't born when I was in that business. And so for them to be old enough to absorb, you know, not being able to get in the hotel lobby if you didn't have a key, and going through security check stations and all that kind of stuff, it was just quite overwhelming.
Les?
Now go ahead, Mike. I know you got a lot of questions. I'll get to it here in a minute.
Oh, no problem. Tully, you talked about bringing your kids there and being, you know, them not having a chance to know you from that past in wrestling. Have they ever wanted to see you on tape, or have they ever shown any interest in what made the name Tully Blanchard so famous? Has there ever been any interest from them in any of that, or has it been something that you've wanted to share with them?
Well, it is something that, you know, my children are very internet savvy, and they've seen a lot of stuff. And, you know, I think that their mother has shared a lot of stuff with them. It's difficult wrestling, and where I came from, when you're divorced and only get two weekends a month, that's not high on the priority list of what's going on when you got a day and a Saturday and a half a Sunday to visit with your kids as they grow up.
As wrestling, you know, obviously being both a blessing and a curse, I had a chance to see your testimonials on imawitness.com, and you bring up the date, November 13th, 1989, and the time of 4:03 in the morning. And you told a story about the call you received about failing the WWF drug test, which completely destroyed the plans of you going back and reforming the Horsemen in WCW at that time. And you talk about what you went through and how tough it was in only the span of a year, where just things went so upside down for you. As you sit back and you go to this mega grand event, WrestleMania, your past is being brought up as far as your wrestling history and all the accolades and the respect for that. In the position that you are now, how much of a blessing or curse has pro wrestling been to you? Because, you know, it was great for your family and your father and your name, but also the lifestyle that went with it was just, obviously, it's an incredibly hard lifestyle. As you sit back now and after WrestleMania and going to that mega event, where do you sit back right now and look at how wrestling has treated you in your life?
Well, I mean, I don't think that you can say wrestling is a curse. I think that people make bad decisions. And, you know, I mean, the wrestling business is what the wrestling business is. I was very good at entertaining in the wrestling business, and that's what I excelled at. And in my induction speech, I made the comment that my dad was the only real tough guy in our family, and he was. And but I was a better entertainer than he was, and that's where the thing was. But the, you know, my out of the ring, off the clock decisions cost me a lot with the WWF at that time, now WWE, but you know, the thing that was a little bit disheartening about it, WCW didn't have a drug policy at that time. And, you know, they tried to be big dog it with whoever they had corporate running at that time, because I had, you know, sporadically done cocaine and did whatever and sold a whole bunch of tickets. So they ended up cutting their nose off despite their face. But I'm also, I shared last week with somebody, I said, how many guys in the wrestling business have flunked Vince's drug test and still came back to be productive people? And I am, if not the only one, one of the very few that has flunked a drug test, the first drug test, and then never gone back. And it's quite unique in the fact that that never happened. And then at the peak of my career at 35 years old, bam, they don't have an explanation where I went. Nobody knows where I went. There are so many wrestling fans didn't know where I'd gone and what had happened because the internet wasn't quite as thriving as it is now. But, you know, I was just gone. And the explanation is God had a different plan for me. And, you know, and I'm very, very happy with that. I can actually play golf at 58 instead of hobble around at 58. And I hit the golf ball farther now than I did when I was 40.
You're not working in the prison system anymore. What exactly? How are you? What type of ministry you have now, Tully?
Oh, I still go in and out of the prisons. I just
oh, do you?
Okay,
I thought since you moved back to Charlotte,
I just go speak. I'm one of the speakers, which is where I started with them back in 1994 with the Bill Glass Organization. But I am not on their staff anymore. And so that's not a bad thing either, because if I was on their staff, I wouldn't have been able to spend the last 2 months of my dad's life with him and been able to do the things with my son that I've needed to do and be the son to my mother that I've needed to be over the last 4 months. Because it is, I was in a conversation with somebody yesterday on a plane on the way up to Marquette, Michigan, in the Upper Peninsula, which is probably as magnificent a view. I'm standing out on the lake, the shore of Lake Superior, looking out where you can't see land on the other side, and the sun is setting and people are out walking. It is just absolutely magnificent. I'm up here playing golf and for the Steve Mariucci Family Foundation to raise money for the Beacon House up here. But it is. Yeah, I forgot what I was going to say. My phone beeped. The three young girls walked by and look at me. I'm speechless. That never would have happened years ago, would it?
The fact you still have blood running through your veins.
No, I. But all the stuff that where I am today. Is, you know, I mean, it's all by divine appointment, and I've been able to do the things that I can do, and I am traveling and speaking places and playing golf and meeting people and learning about Twitter and learning about Facebook and actually using it rather than just being on it. And I send out little bitty short inspirational messages every day and get back hundreds of comments of how that affects people, and I needed that, and just some basic stuff that has helped me through all the garbage that I've had to go through in my life.
You know, one of the things that I've, when the horseman thing comes up, and I've always said, you know, so many times that writers in recent history have tried to resurrect that particular thing, and I said, I think the thing that they don't understand is it was never planned. It was just a chemistry with you guys, and each one, it was the most complete faction I've ever seen, because each one of you could cut a promo, each one of you had a tremendous talent in the ring, and yet each one of you brought a different element to the table, and it all came together. And you know, and I don't think they're ever going to duplicate it again.
Oh, they can't. It's impossible. When I walked out of the ring and I stepped through the ropes in Philadelphia the night, the last night when I told them that we were done, I told JJ, I said, this is an end of an era. And he just looked at me and agreed, and we were gone. And I mean, as a company, okay, what is our biggest thing? Okay, yeah, we didn't treat these guys right, but still, they're the biggest drawing power we got because their business plummeted, was cut in half in a month, and so you do that, so you got to try to resurrect it, and they threw everybody in wrestling just about in to try to resurrect that thing, and you know, then it became the Ric Flair and the Traveling Roadshow, and you never can do it because the chemistry was not there. And Les, as you just said, this is maybe the only thing in this business that has never been promoter generated. This was fan generated. It wasn't the promoter sitting around saying, "Oh, we want four guys to call them the Four Horsemen." And that wasn't the case. That was just something that Arn read in a magazine on the newspaper, then it happened, and then the fans caught on, and you know they kept trying to have 8-man tag matches, which are not the easiest thing in the world to have, and make them good, and they were, and they did, and it kept going on. And I'm just fortunate that I was being booked against Dusty at the time, and so I got hauled into the Anderson thing, and I got to be part of it, or I'd have been out in left field too.
Yeah, you know, I've always said that it reminds me a lot of the Cosell and Meredith on the very first Monday Night Football. It was just something that happened. The chemistry was there, and then ABC and every network since has tried to resurrect that or build it, and they haven't succeeded. I mean, those guys just happened to hit it off together at the right time in the right place. And it's like you say, it's not something you pre-plan. It's not something you write down on a piece of paper. It just happens.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let me ask you.
I'll have to be part of it. And I'm glad to be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, I've got the ring on right now. So,
of all the great baby faces you had the opportunity to work with, who did you enjoy working with the most, would you think?
Oh, I don't know that I've got I don't know that I've got the most. I mean, it was a great joy to work with Steamboat. It was a great joy to wrestle Magnum TA. It was a great joy to wrestle Robert and Ricky. It was a great joy to wrestle Dusty. You know, because they were over and it was easy, and then the Road Warriors were a little more difficult, but you sold out. Every time you wrestled them, it was great. When Arn and I first went to New York and we wrestled Sean and Marty, oh my gosh, those were just unbelievable matches. I'd never quite set some stuff in advance like I had to up there. They had a different mindset in New York than what I had, but still, I mean, they were great, great matches. And then Arn and I had great matches with Bill Eady and Barry Darso, Demolition. And now I don't know that our Bushwhacker days were the actual great matches, but, you know, I did almost get fired when I pulled my tights down and showed Nick Kozak in Houston where he bit me on my butt. But anyway, that's a whole different story.
Well, how was it? I mean, there's an interesting story because, I mean, my God, it's not like the sheepherders, as the New Zealand Kiwi sheepherders, didn't spend enough time in Southwest and were all over the place. And they went to the WWF and played just a bizarre anti what everything that they had done in the past before. Was it difficult to have to work with guys that maybe you worked with somewhere else, but in the WWF realm, they were licking heads and you know, forgetting about the fact they were scraping with barbed wire just months earlier. Did that make it difficult to do anything sometimes with guys?
Well, no, it didn't. It was, the feuds that I had with those guys in Southwest were 7-8 years earlier and not that many people saw them. So that didn't have any effect. But the disheartening thing was we had come into the WWE and we were just sizzling and worked with Sean and Marty for the first 3 or 4 months. And then before we get the championships for 3 months, we got to work with the sheep herders and get beat every night. And I did not understand that. And it was a little bit annoying, but anyway, it happened and we were still the WWE champions and we were still the first people ever to be NWA champions and then the WWE champions. And so, you know, those things are accolades that you can't take away, and they're things. It's just like being in the Hall of Fame. It's you're there. Nobody can take it away from you. Or at least I don't think they can take it away from you.
No, they can't take it away. They can't take it away. It's like taking away national titles from a team that goes on probation. No one's ever going to remember that they're taking the Fab Five banners now. Nobody remembers that stuff. They just remember the Fab Five. When you went into Crockett, you were sizzling hot right off the bat, and they had you doing a lot of commentary, which I can't remember. I was starting to cut my teeth around that time watching wrestling, so I'm not sure if it was Rich Landrum or whoever it was left. But you would do commentary oftentimes when you went in. Was that a planned thing, or was that just something that kind of happened, that you were a wrestler and a commentator?
I don't have a clue. I mean, I just did what they asked me, and I was happy to have a job, and it was a way to get my name out, I think, a lot more, and to get me out there. And then, Johnny Weaver, I ended up slapping him and beating him up, so I think that was a way to just help get me over to start with. And but anyway, that's a long time ago.
When it comes to now, how many people when you do
well,
go around?
Are you laughing with me or at me?
No, I'm laughing with you, Tully. I've I think is when, you know, people that didn't work during the territory days, but it was a business. But like you said, I don't know. It was just you had fun, right? I mean, I'm sure you're the same way. You go to the Legends thing in Charlotte. You go to one of these fan fests, and somebody said, "I remember this match from, you know, from 30 years ago," and you're thinking, gosh, I don't remember that match. But I mean, it was, we were just having a good time, and every night was, you know, was whatever. And I think that's what's missing a lot too, is it, a lot of guys are in the business now because of the money or because of notoriety and not because they love it or because it's so much fun.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's a whole different mentality. And it's a lot different because of the dues they've had to pay, and it's a lot different because of the nature of what the business is. You know, I mean, the business was back in the days that the TV show generated was an infomercial for the house shows. Now
right.
The TV show is the product, and if you don't deliver the ratings, I'm guessing that all of a sudden, you know, you got 2 weeks to get ratings. You don't get ratings, you're out. And you know, that there'd be a lot of stress involved in those things.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, I think that's the camaraderie of the territories. And it's just, you know, it's something you and I can talk about. And we know exactly what we're saying. And you can't explain that to somebody that didn't live it. I mean, you know, the kids, some of the young kids will say, tell me about the territories. And, you know, they'll hear the passion in your voice or, you know, the excitement that you're reliving something, but they'll still look at you like, okay, well, I don't quite get it, but I guess you do, you know. But it was something, if you
yeah.
weren't there, you don't know.
Oh, no. And then, you know, I mean, if you never had to wrestle every stinking night, and you know, and actually back in the day, there were two different ways to work. You worked differently in a house show than you did on television.
Sure.
And now they're trying to work one way, and God bless them. They just haven't, and I don't know if it's the teacher's fault or they just don't want to learn, or because, I mean, Steve Kern and some of those guys they've got teaching them are great. and were great performers. But whether they listen or whether it's the guys helping set the matches up, you know, but there is a gap in the information product somewhere.
Yeah, you're right. Well, I'm like you. See, I've said too, with Pritchard and DeMont and Steamboat and Steve and those guys, there's no denying it that they, every one of them could work their butts off. But I think with the company too, having been a part of that myself a few years ago, is now it's the emphasis is more on characterization than it is actually, you know, the technicalities of being a good worker. And which has, you know, well, earlier when I asked you about the baby faces and you rattled off, you know, Steamboat and Magnum and on, Ricky and Robert and on, you can sit and look at either one of these rosters of the two major television companies today, and you can't do that. I mean, the biggest problem I think with WWE today is their lack of depth. Guys who can go out there and pick somebody else up and make them look good, or they don't have a depth on their card. They've, and the problem is the guys writing this stuff don't know how to give them that depth because they've never taken a bump in their lives either.
Well, but it's also, I mean, and I think the biggest problem that because now it's only one place to go and the only place you can do it. The NWA mentality was heel champions.
Right.
People wanted to come and root for a babyface, and they know he could win, and every now and then they had to win the championship. But the champion could always leave, you know, getting the crap beat out of it. And New York was always babyface champions. Well, you build up a heel and feed them to the champion. Build up a heel, feed them to the champion. Well, you've got an ocean that doesn't have any more piranha left. The shark done ate them all.
Yeah, that's a good example. You're right. Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Okay, so you know, I mean, who's the next one they're trying to raise up to feed them? You know, it's like you the most you could ever wrestle Bruno in the garden was three times. One, two, or three. And if you were the absolute best, you'd get three out of it. You know, and so, I mean, so now they're trying to resurrect other people and resurrect other this and bring back old guys and older angles and everything. Not that it is not successful, but, you know, I mean, you give me a belt, you give Flair a belt, you give guys. I mean, we could make 10 people look like killers.
Yeah,
and
well, that you know, that's the thing
business.
Too. They
because
they don't
where
know.
That's where your depth comes from.
Yeah, right.
Well, and that's where they have this issue now with John Cena, as it sits there and there's one megalith superhero that knocks off the bunch that makes all of their other problems also look bad too, because they don't have any depth as it is, and now they're in a situation where Cena's the Superman who's killed off everybody, and it's an issue even now.
Oh, absolutely. And then at WrestleMania, which, you know, I mean, certainly the house was definitely worth whatever they did, but he goes out and puts The Rock over, and then The Rock's not there. Yeah. You know, you're still trying to build the company on Cena. So,
well,
anyway, obviously the business has passed me by, so.
How much when you go out and do fundraisers and charity work and you go to the prisons, how much do people bring up the days of wrestling and bring up your time in the Horsemen? Is it as time goes on, does it get stronger or is it a little bit less when it comes to people talking about those things?
Well, it just depends on who they are. I just walked in with Edgar Bennett, who's got his Green Bay Packers Super Bowl ring, Dexter McNabb, who's got his Super Bowl ring, played golf with Robert Brooks this morning, who's got his Super Bowl ring, and these guys, all went in the NFL in 1992, and they are the age of guys that were absolutely Four Horsemen fans. Whether they liked Dusty or whether they liked us, it didn't make any difference, because you have to like us to know how big a star Dusty was. And, you know, but the older people get, you know, I guess everybody will still watch on YouTube, and you know, I still don't have a full grasp on how much people watch all this other stuff on television. But, you know, when you get Super Bowl champions like that saying, hey, this is, golly, you guys were so great and this, not the other. You know, it's almost embarrassing to watch these guys when you're sitting there going, let me check that Super Bowl ring out, bud.
How do they get so many diamonds on such a small little ring?
Josh, it wasn't no tiny one, but I'm telling you. And the big G in the middle of the one he's got from the last Super Bowl was pretty awesome looking.
Tully, does anybody actually ever come up and bring up, is it almost always the Horseman stuff, or do you ever get anyone who throws you for a real loop and says, you know, the time you replaced the tape from Bob Sweetin with the big cowboy boot and the cowboy music? I mean, does anyone ever bring up that sort of stuff?
Every now and then. You find the occasional Southwest Championship Wrestling. Sweetin was really a good performer. We really did some good business for our company at that time, and we had some really good matches. And I'm not sure where, and I heard years and years and years ago that, yeah, Tully would, you know, ran the company this and never would put anybody over. I don't know that I ever won a match in my career. I don't know when Sweetan beat me every night in my hometown. And I was the stinking promoter. So, you know. Anyway.
Well, okay, how much, you know, with your father passing, and a lot of people will go, all right, Southwest, they lost the time slot to Vince, and they'll say, okay, the Jaggers angle and this and that. But what was the legacy, you know, because obviously you were the promoter. You were there. What's the legacy of Southwest now as far as, when looking back, what did it do, you know, for the business? Because a lot of people, I don't think they realize how many guys went in and out of that place, and great performers for a long, long period of time. You know, how does it look as far as wrestling today, as far as Southwest?
Oh, I mean, it is what it is. It had its own little role, and I mean, we were fortunate to be the ones to break the ice on the USA Cable Network. And, you know, Vince is fortunate that we didn't know how to make the TV show make money, or we'd still have it. And, you know, we ended up owing him a bunch of money, and Vince came in and was able to negotiate out from underneath our debt. God, he's still on the USA Network, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
So... You know, he's not the one that unlocked the door to the goose that laid the golden egg.
Well, was the transition for you from Crockett to Vince during that period, was that a tough decision for you to make, or did you have second thoughts before you made the jump?
No, they had made me so mad I couldn't even, you know, I mean, Crockett was giving money to this and that and this guy and that guy and these guys and that guy and managers and this, that, and the other, and he wasn't wanting to give me or Arn, you know, and I was more concerned about me, a contract, guaranteed contract, because he didn't want to mess up the negotiations with Turner to buy his company. And, you know, so in one of the key personnel meetings, you know, they came in there and want you to be honest and this, that, and the other. So I took them at their word. I was honest. I said, look, this is what's happening, and these things have to be changed. And so that made the them ask Crockett and some of the hierarchy some serious questions that they got pissed about, called me on the phone, told me I wasn't loyal, and kicked me off the jet. They were spanking me. And at 33 or 34 years old, I didn't figure I needed to be spanked. And I had a place to go, and so I said, I'll drop the belts tonight in Houston or tomorrow night in Philadelphia. I'm done. You know, and they didn't think anybody had the balls to leave them.
Right.
But you can only ride the horse and treat it so bad and abuse it so long, you know, we weren't getting championship pay like Flair was every night. And, you know, so we left.
When it came to Arn, was that a decision that you guys were working on together, or when you said,
no.
I'm done?
No, that was, I said, I'm done, whether Arn, no matter what he did, didn't do, whatever. I was leaving. And then Arn came with me, which was a bit of a surprise. So.
Who, did you make a call to JJ, or were you just, did they contact you? How did that work? And did you have any plans to do? I mean, there were, you know, still multiple promotions at the time, even though none as big as either Crocker or McMahon. But did you care where you went, or was your mindset on going to the WWF?
Where else was there to go?
Well, at least I guess, you know, at the time there were still I guess some small promotions. I'm trying to think of what was around at that time too.
Yeah, but all the rest of them had already been put out of business. You know, you couldn't go to any place else. I mean, we'd already met with Vince. They'd already sent feelers out to us, and we'd already flown up and met with him, and he said that we'd be the champions, and if we wanted to come, and he didn't put a deadline on it or anything like that, so I knew where I was going.
Yeah, Mike, the people that were running at that time, Southeastern and Memphis, couldn't have paid the kind of money they were making with Crockett, even if they weren't happy. Vince was the only one that could have matched it or topped it anyway, so any place else would have been stepping down, not stepping up.
And going to work for Vince wasn't a step up, it was a lateral move.
Yeah.
That irritated me too, but anyway.
Well, did you ever have much experience in Japan, or was that something that just never interested you whatsoever?
Well, my situation by going to Japan, every time that I had a door open for me to go to Japan, I was so involved in making money here and on top and drawing that I could never see taking 6 weeks off to go to Japan. And so I never had the ability I never had the opportunity to really go over there and establish myself, which may have been a very good financial thing. But, you know, I'm not unhappy with my career at all. I don't have any regrets, although I wish I'd have been a little smarter with the drugs. But, you know, I mean, that's the road that I had to take to come to meet the Lord. And I wouldn't trade that for absolutely anything. And, you know, today at 58 years old, you know, I may not be the richest guy with money in the bank, but I promise you I can hold my head up high, and I enjoy life, and I'm having a good time.
Tully, I couldn't be happier for you. I'm really so happy that you gave us this time tonight, and we were able to take time from the fundraiser to actually get a chance to talk to us. And again, look forward to having you on here in the future. And for anybody that wants to get a hold of you, you talked about the Twitter and the Facebook and everything now getting more involved in it. How can they get a hold of you?
Well, they can contact me on either one. I would ask them to send me a message. Don't post me or tweet me and ask me to call you, because I don't mess with that most of the time. Just give me a message and I get to them eventually. And I've had a number of people contact me on that way. A number of the guys for the internet radio shows and stuff like that are in fact, I had some I had two at the same time on Monday, which was crazy. And I thought they were the same show until about 2 hours before. I had two different guys calling me. Well, we're calling you at 6 o'clock. And I said, whoa, I need to, these are not the same show anymore. And one was in Scotland and one was in New York. So
everybody
moved 30 minutes. Huh?
Happens to Les every day as well.
Oh, well, yeah, but he's older than me.
Yeah, is yes, he is. The first time I met Tully, Mike, he was playing peewee football and came to the TV station in Indianapolis with his daddy. He was what? Were you about 12 or 13 at the time?
Oh no, we left Indianapolis. I was in the fourth grade.
Okay.
Wow.
See. So he could have carried
feel
my,
really old,
he probably
you?
Was too small to carry my bag, Mike. He probably probably too heavy.
No, man, I just carried it with two hands.
We're sorry we distracted you from looking at those pretty girls in that sunset. So.
Oh man, the sunset is still gorgeous. The lake is gorgeous. And they've got stretch limousines sitting over here to haul the celebrities around in. And it's pretty exciting.
Well, good.
Steve Mariucci, Tom Izzo is here. It is Rick Mahorn and Bill Lambier, Robert Brooks, and a bunch of guys that I can't remember their names. But... anyway, it's a good time.
Good. That's great.
Totally happy for you again, man. And look forward to having you on again soon one day. And, again, wish you all the best. And thank you so much for joining us tonight.
My pleasure.
Enjoy yourself, my friend. God bless you. Love you, man.
Okay. Bye. Love you, too. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. We'll be back right after this break on Ringside Wrap.
Hi, I'm Vince Gill for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Real life's not a song. In less than it takes to play my latest hit, someone will be killed or injured in an alcohol-related crash. So next time you're out with someone who's been drinking, don't let them take the wheel. Take the keys instead. Sad stories make great songs, but happy endings make better lives. That's why friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi, NBA forward Kevin Durant from the Oklahoma City Thunder. Here with Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck to remind you to get moving every day.
Because when you get moving an hour a day,
you'll have more energy to do the things you like to do.
And that's a slam dunk.
Whether you like to shoot hoops like me, skateboard, ride a bike,
or dance on your roof,
be a player.
Get up, play, and move it your way.
Head online to get tips on great ways to get moving every day.
Check out how to be a player at letsmove.gov. A message from the Ad Council and HHS.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
How can we help our kids prepare for the future? Hey, I'm Shelley Wright. I don't have to tell you that children face pretty tough challenges these days. It can be hard to keep them involved in their schoolwork. We adults need to make sure our kids find something in school that really sparks their interest, like music. Not only is music in school fun, but studies show that kids who learn music find science and math concepts a little easier to grasp, and that they show significant increases in self-esteem and thinking skills. And music and creativity go together, too. Your school music teacher can tell you all about it. So help prepare your children for life. Encourage them to learn to love music.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
Janine Marks, a 12-year-old, was fairly normal. She spent a lot of time online. One day, she met a new friend. The new friend had the same problems at home. They liked the same bands. They worried about the same subjects in school. They promised to keep each other's secrets. They wished they went to the same junior high. The new friend had good news. He said he was going to be in Janine's area one Saturday. He thought it would be amazing if they could just hang out, go to the mall. Janine agreed. The new friend didn't want parents messing this up. Janine showed up alone. So did her new friend, who wasn't in junior high, wasn't nice, and wasn't a 14-year-old boy. Every day, children are sexually solicited online. Help delete online predators. Call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com to learn how to protect your kids' online life. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back here on Ringside Rap, the legendary Les Thatcher, along with me, Mike Sempervivi. And again, I want to thank Tully Blanchard for being on. And I'm going to say, and I mean this in the best possible way, Tully Blanchard, one of the greatest jerks in wrestling history, loved Tully Blanchard. And I had to bring up the Bob Sweetan thing because I was watching a tape of Southwest. They started airing, AWA was doing the same thing. I think maybe Todd Okerlund had some involvement. There was a pay-per-view series in the early 2000s. That would come on monthly with just old professional wrestling from different territories, and Southwest was one of them. And I had never seen the Sweetan Tully Blanchard thing before, where Sweetan finally beats Tully Blanchard, this obnoxious jerk for the title, finally shuts him up and beats him. And Steve Stack and he are standing there. They're about to roll the tape of his big epic victory, which made everyone happy, and it ends up being country western music and shots of a big boot that's located in San Antonio. And, you know, there's a place for comedy sometimes in wrestling when it's few and far between and the right people are doing it or at the right time. And that was one that caught me at least at the right time. And I thought it was great. And having a chance to grow up on Mid-Atlantic, I was always a big fan of Tully Blanchard. So I'm happy that he is at this place he is in his life and he gets to go out. And one of the things I'm most happy for him is the fact that what he said, after just hearing Stan Hansen a couple of days ago talk about having four joints completely that he was not born with, to hear Blanchard be able to move around like he's doing is a really awesome thing.
Yeah. No, I was thinking during the break, yeah, he was about 8 years old the first time I met him. Yeah, because I'm about 13 years older than he is. I got to work with him when I was – getting ready to leave the Carolinas to move up to Knoxville when he first came in, but I did get a chance to work with him once. I was thinking about that. I guess that was in Greenville when he first time he came into territory. But he was a hell of a performer. He really was.
He did the drunken walk. Everything he did was. I don't know. His team with Arn Anderson, which in a lot of ways is romanticized because. In the grand scheme of things, they want to get together that long. It's almost like when people think of Barry Windham and the Horsemen, they think about it feels like forever that they were so good, but it was only such a short period of time. You know, Anderson and Blanchard, that team was one of the best complemented teams of, I guess, what would be this generation, the post-WrestleMania generation.
Yeah, they well, you know, like I said earlier, and I've always said, the Horsemen were just, that was, you cannot, I don't care what four or five people you put together, you cannot top that combination, because every one of them was virtually, you know, in different, I mean, none of the four worked the same way, but they all, you know, were the complete package. They could all talk, they could all work, they all looked the part, and it just, you know, it was the chemistry, and you can't, that's something you can't manufacture, you know, and the if you look back at the best tag teams, it was just something that they came together, and it happened. It wasn't, you know, I mean, you could stick people together, but it didn't mean that necessarily that they were going to get over. You know, you could, I mean, you could take your two best baby faces in a territory, for example, and put them together as a team, and they weren't necessarily going to click. But these guys just, you know, it was all the pieces of the puzzle fit. And, you know, I every time I see somebody trying to resurrect that, I'm thinking, okay, you know, you're butting your head against the wall, because it's not going to happen. You know, it's something you can't make up.
Yeah, I think finally they put it to bed, too. And I think they've shown, like, somebody may have actually kind of done that anyway in something with Flair. I can't remember if they did or not, but the fact that they haven't brought back War Games, and the fact that they hopefully they never bring back a Four Horsemen, because it was so bastardized for so long and beaten up, and, you know, again, no offense to anybody that was ever in there, you know, but it just, it jumped the shark a long time ago, and hopefully it is something that they just put on the shelf, like a great object to look at and remember of, you know, how great that it actually was at its peak.
Sure.
Okay, now I'll take it back to what we were talking about before, Tully. And I want to ask you this as far as Joey Ryan. I mean, the fact that he should have just flat out should have cut a better promo instead of putting on the act that he did, but if you know, and I'm not trying to defend Joey Ryan here, but with his whole career being a gimmick and an indie thing, and he's in PWG, they're one of the few groups that sell DVDs well still. He's got the merchandise, which he, I'm sure, makes a pretty penny off of, and the whole porn star mustache thing, the whole nine yards that goes with his deal on the indies. How should he have defended himself? Because you're basically being told on national TV on the secondary show as compared to WWF, you're not going to be good enough to be here. Go back to the indies where you belong, sort of thing. And if he went out with his tail between his legs, I mean, would you have thought any of his, did any?
No, you know, no, I don't think going out with your tail between, you know, with your head held up and said, okay, you know, I'll be back, and you know, this is not over. I'll be back, you know, and I'm going to improve. You know, I don't know, was tweeting or texting or whatever the hell he did, and saying, I hope John Laurinaitis, I know he recognizes talent. I mean, when's he going to be in touch with me? You know, with that cocky attitude. And then I saw on somebody's website a tape of him and the Young Bucks talking about, is TNA really, you know, does wrestling really matter there? And I'm thinking, man, you're just fanning the fire, you know? I mean, shut up, you know?
Yes.
I mean, really, you know, you're not making it better, you know? And the two guys you're standing there talking with, I mean, it's like, yeah, well, we're three of the greatest technical workers in the history of the wrestling business. Okay, fine. You know, I mean, it's just, like I say, well, you know, it's like some kid,
I mean, he put
his
life in his hands. I mean, the bucking up to Al Snow or Taz, but especially Al Snow can kill you with his bare hands. So,
well,
as far as
you know,
that didn't happen afterwards.
Taz is no slouchy, but I mean, it's just, you know, it's what, if anybody of that, you know, of like my, anybody in my generation, or for those who work with those guys at that level, who have attained what they have attained, you know, and when I say that, it's not necessarily somebody on top, It's just somebody that, you know, it's been, I mean, there were guys that did jobs all their lives that were, you know, that you respected and had worked their asses off for the business and had earned their spot to be there, you know. I mean, it's like the guy sitting on the bench, you know, with the Baltimore Ravens. At least they're in the NFL, right? I mean, you can say what you want, but they're there. They've earned the respect, and it's something you earn. You can't buy it, and you can't force it on somebody. And you know, it's just. Well, I was talking to DJ Markland, who owns CZW in Philadelphia, earlier today, and he was saying that, you know, he sees it in some dressing rooms that he goes to, and now he's, you know, he's a young guy. that guys, you know, there's times when you should shut up and there's times to talk. And he said, there's so many of these kids that don't know the difference. You know, and I said, well, you know, when I was a kid, you didn't have to be told to keep your mouth shut and speak when spoken to. And if you weren't smart enough, somebody would smarten you up in a way you wouldn't be happy with. You know, and again, I'm not advocating, you know, that maybe that's Neanderthal or call it whatever you like. But, I mean, there's nothing wrong with, you know, at the gym where I train people, we got a new young lady who's the head of the trainer's department. And, you know, she is, we've never met till 2 days ago. And, you know, she's looked at my resume and what I've done and, you know, in terms of, you know, working with professional bodybuilders and that sort of thing. I mean, aside from anything to do with wrestling and the years I've been involved in this she is showing me respect. So I'm going to show her respect. You know, it's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's not a weakness, Mike. And I think some of these kids think it is, you know. And I don't know. But I just think Ryan approached it, and he's made, you know, and by doing these little video clips on YouTube or wherever the hell they, you know, they actually originate from, is not winning him any fans either. You know, I mean, maybe his buddy, you know, his best friend thing. That's so cool. Joey's talking, you know, Joey's talking smack to these guys. Okay, cool. You know, but it's, I got an email from Lance. He heard me talking about it on the doc show. And he said, you know, I didn't like it when I saw it. And when I heard you describe it, and he said, I hated it even worse. You know, and I mean, it just was a bad approach. And again, you know, it comes back to what Lance was saying, that it the kids think there's more, you know, find that more important than their actual, the mechanics of how they work. And that's all wrong, you know. And had he have ever attended a WWE invitational tryout camp, like, you know, like they'd still run, and we used to run when Dr. Tom and I were with the company, he and the two of us and Kevin Kelly, nobody cared. You know, they didn't tell you to jump up and wave your arms, and we wanted to know if you could lock up. Do you know how to work a hold? Can you sell? Can you build a match? I mean, those are the things that were, you know, because that's the foundation. And I mean, I don't mean that he had to go out on that TV and be the most basic of basic performers, but, you know, save his expressions and personality and projections for selling what Aries was doing to him or firing up for a comeback or, you know, and forget laying on top of the ropes and getting in Taz's face or Al's face or anything like that. Just, you know, it was just the wrong thing to do. That's, I mean, I don't know how else to say it. And I know I read somewhere on somebody had posted it. Well, it was just he was a wrestler, being a wrestler. Well, no, that's wrong too. See,
because, no, that's like the comparison to somebody made a comparison to like when Austin Aries kind of went off on WWE after being denied a spot on, I guess it would have been NXT the first season, or Tough Enough. It was something, I think it may have been Tough Enough.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, well, no, it's not the same because
he was actually ready to quit. It wasn't like, you know, he was actually upset and ready to quit, and he didn't, it was a quick thing. He got out his frustrations, but then went back to work, and now is in TNA making a splash, so it's not the same.
Well, you know, it's not. You know, Meltzer made a point. You know, he said, I don't want a whole roster of Austin Aries, but I would, you know, I could see the value of one Austin Aries, and I see his point there, too, you know. But see, they have, here we go with the subject, you know, I said earlier, it's so subjective, right? It's what I perceive. You know, it's like this new project that I'm involved in. I have a vision of what I want, you know. That doesn't mean everything else is bad. It's just that this is what we're trying. This is the image of this company that we want to project. So we're looking for a particular kind of worker and a guy. When I say in shape, I don't mean he has to look like Batista, you know, or Mr. Olympia, but one look like an athlete. And that's, you know, that's what we're shooting. That's what the guy I work for wants. So.
Would it be okay to look like Jerry Stubbs?
Like Jerry Stubbs?
Well, you said, well, Mr. Olympia, and then, you know.
Oh, okay. No, I'm talking about the Olympia, like in bodybuilding.
Yes.
like Phil Heath or Jay Cutler or, you know, those particular Mr. Olympias. Yeah, well, Stubbs was in shape when he was working. Jerry looked athletic, you know. So yeah, he could look like that Mr. Olympia too. I hadn't thought of the comparison until you made it. But yeah, you know, so it's, you know, I thought Lance's comments about that really hit home, and I thought, wow, yeah, because that, see, there's part of the problem too. You have so many people out there trying to be trainers that aren't actually qualified to do that. And basically a lot of what they know is what they see on television too. And so, you know, they have no perception. And again, like, you know, Tully was saying, well, you know, and you've heard me say the same thing. Steve Kern is qualified. Steamboat's qualified. DeMont's qualified. Pritchard was qualified. They're all qualified to teach if they're allowed to teach. But again, it's a business, and the man who hands your paycheck says, well, you know, I want them to learn this first. Well, then that's what you need to teach them first. And I think that's more the point of the matter, quite frankly, you know, than the fact that – and the fact that they're all, you know, that these guys work within their one little community and never get outside of that. I think that was one of the neat things when I, you know, when I was with the company – that we got the guys that some, from the main roster, you know, four or five at a time, that weren't being used up there to come in and work with the kids. It, you know, it just it made it, you know, better for them because they got to work outside of their own little group.
Also, so, and they get to pass on what they know to them. You got like Val Venus, who I think. You know, the Funkin' Conservatory and things like that. When, you know, I mean, he you know, with a lot of time and knowledge and you know, it gives them, not only does it give them work and it gets them, you know, going so they're not just sitting there on the sidelines, but to be able to pass that on is, you know, a key, it's an incredibly key thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, that there's something too, is part of, you know, sometimes I've had kids show up at my place, and you know the minute you see them that these two guys have had this same match, God knows how many times, you know, and that there is the value again of the territories, or if you're going to have a developmental system to have, you know, three or even four different locations and swap the guys back and forth, you know, so they get the opportunity to work with. You know, different styles, different sizes, different skill sets, different amounts of experience. You know, it's, I mean, that was one of the things, you know, from the beginning, the first two matches I had in my life, I worked with guys who were veterans. So, I mean, not that I never worked with anybody at my level or, you know, But it was less common than it was to work with guys who had been around. So you had to step up. Or find out if you could. I mean, and that's the other thing too. There's going to be the NBA draft is going to come up. There are some guys that excelled in college that are not going to make it in the NBA because they have hit their ceiling in college. You know, there's some great, maybe an all-state high school ball player that gets a full ride to a particular, major university in baseball or basketball or football or whatever, and they don't make it. Well, you can blame that on the college football, the college coach, or you can blame it on anybody. But it's a possibility that kid excelled at a high school level, but that's where, he hit his peak and he plateaued there. I've had guys come into my school that started out like a house fire, like, man, this kid is going to be, and they never got past that. And now I'll tell you the truth, Nigel was not he wasn't a quick study in any way, shape, or form, but he was a dedicated study and, had the dedication and the drive to make it and stuck with it and worked his ass off. Obviously had, was the God-given tools that we were able to develop, and he was able to develop and become who he was. So, it's just everybody's not cut out for it anyway. But see, that's the other thing, too. You can take a kid out of that developmental system, and some writer in Stanford sees him and says, well, I like the way he walks, or, his build, or the way he smiles, or whatever. But once he gets up there, he can't deliver, because what you're seeing down there is the best you're going to see, so...
University basketball. There are a couple guys have changed this in the last couple of years. I think Shane Battier being one of them. But one of the biggest things about Mike Krzyzewski's college teams, yeah, they win national championships. None of these guys are going to be anything in the pros, and that was the case for a long, long time. Not to say that Christian Laettner and Grant Hill, due to injuries and other people, didn't have good pro careers, but they never achieved those levels that they did in college because it's just. Sometimes that's just the way it goes. I want to talk more about this and then get to some wrapping up some stuff as well, but Rich will be mad at me if I don't go to break. So we're going to take the break right now. We'll be right back on Ringside Wrap.
Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Hi, I'm Jody Peterman. We know that no one understands what you need better than you do. We take care to guide you through the legal process, ensuring that you're able to make the decisions that are best for you. If you have a personal injury, criminal, or family law issue, please take a look at our website to learn more about our practice. We offer a free initial consultation for personal injury cases. Give us a call at 229-375-5680. We have a reputation for being accessible and treating our clients well. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hello, I'm Guy Terry of Terry and Peterman. At Terry and Peterman, we're committed to representing the hardworking residents of South Georgia in personal injury, criminal, and family law matters. For years, we have worked with college students in this area to ensure legal issues do not disrupt their academic careers. We also represent military families struggling with divorce and family law issues. We rely upon over 30 years of combined experience to provide aggressive representation for our clients.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling. Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling at the Academy Theater in Avondale State. We're also at the Masquerade every month or so. Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Championship Wrestling. And you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling. We get it. That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
We'll be right back.
All right, we're back on Ringside Rap. Les Badger along with me, Mike Pepper, VV.
What is Tate smoking to play that music?
After playing Sweet Child of Mine from Guns N' Roses back to back, to go to that one is
whatever. You know, I was just thinking while we were in break as a good example. It was either 61 or 62, the University of Cincinnati beat Ohio State for the, college basketball, at March Madness. And there were a couple of ball players from the University of Cincinnati national championship team that went into the NBA and were marginal players, didn't make a big impact. But there were two guys from the starting five of Ohio State named Jerry Lucas and John Havlicek that just kicked serious ass in the NBA. So there's a good example, of guys hitting a certain, being stars at a certain level and then peaking and not being able to get past that level.
Yeah, there was a reason to take it to today's times a little bit. Christian Laettner, Alonzo, there are a lot of great guys in that one draft, but there was a reason that Shaquille O'Neal was the number one pick off a team in LSU that, isn't exactly known for their basketball skill or anything like that. But, yeah, I mean, there's just some times where again, people peak at different times, and God knows there's a lot that goes into the circumstances around it, too. But, some guys are right at the right time. And, just back to Gutchek for a minute. I know the first one, even it boggles my mind that they had a chance to go back and redo it and they didn't, but in any event, Alex Silva, Ric Flair breaks whatever it is that he was supposed to do and decides to give him a job. The thing last week with Joey Ryan, and I have not been a proponent of this whole thing. We've talked about this on the show. I'm in your camp and land. I can't stand it. It should be wrestling matches to see who's going to be on, and you should be able to cut promos and things like that. But doing the form of a young guy coming up and getting his chance, the way they're doing it to me is just, I don't like it. But I guess this week will be a real test, too, because I can't see Taylor Hendricks doing the I'm going to get in the judge's face or anything like that. It'll be interesting how they play this. I think will help.
Do you watch whether it's Dancing with the Stars or American Idol or America's Got Talent, is when you get voted off, some of those kids have got a lot of dignity, and they say, it's just been an honor to get to this point, and I understand the judge's critique, and I'm going to make these improvements, and I'll be back, That's a graceful way to step away. It is.
Yeah. I love those shows. I mean, especially like Dancing with the Stars. I really do enjoy those shows and the visceral level that I think wrestling fans and people that are in the wrestling industry connect with those shows. That's why I guess I'm surprised that I guess it's just I'm so out of my element to see it in wrestling that I don't know. Very odd. And I know they've done it on NXT and things like that, but it's just it's different. I'll say that. And I guess this week, if it ends up being a really good segment, and I hope that happens with Taylor Hendricks, either way, because she shouldn't get the contract if they decide to give her one and then lose her mind or something like that. I don't know. But I hope this, if they're going to keep going with it, I hope this one's good.
No, I don't. I mean, knowing Taylor, we're not the best of, friends. We haven't spent hundreds of hours together. But, what little I've been around her, what little I've seen with her and communicated with her, on a telephone or via email, or in these training camps. I think certainly she's got more dignity than that. And if she does pull a Joey Ryan, my only thought is that she was told to, and it is part of a work, And again, it's like, like Lance agreed with me 100%. That's the wrong message to send out to these other impressionable independent kids. It is not the message you want. Well, if I don't get my way or if somebody doesn't tell me I've had a good match, well, I'll get in their face because it's liable to get your ass handed to you. I mean, everybody's not going to be so gracious as not to lay a hand on you because it's national television. It's, it just doesn't fly that way, and that's not the way to treat it. I don't care who it is. Whether they've been a huge star or they're in the Hall of Fame or whether it's just somebody who's worked 20 years in the business at a mid-card or a preliminary card level, they have been where you want to go, and they obviously knew how to get there. And if they have a critique of what you do, even if you don't agree, you say, thank you, I appreciate your input, and you move on with your life. It's that simple. Or if you're smart enough, actually try to listen. That's, you know, that's the thing, too. A lot of people talk about me watching, you know, American Idol and this and that and the other thing. But I parallel with being a trainer in this business, because the kids that listen to those who have made it in the industry and try to make the improvements that are passed along to them are the ones that have the staying power, are the ones that, you know, well, of course, you know, to, obviously the fan vote is, you know, is a popularity thing, but still you'll watch these kids over a period of time, either the pressure gets to them, they don't develop, they top out at their talent level, or they keep improving. And it's the same in this business, too. Just because, you know, you got your foot in the door doesn't mean you're going to be the next world champion. It just means you got your foot in the door. And the work's not over at that point.
Well, Les, hey, actually, you know, I'll put my foot in the door here real quick, because we actually have a couple callers from Florida, actually, on the line. So I want to get them in here real quick. Larry, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
What you got on your mind?
You guys are doing a really good job. I like listening to the show. I've been a Mid-Atlantic fan since 1968, so I've seen Les in action both in front of the camera and, you know, in the ring, and I just want to say you're doing a great job there.
Thank you.
I got a question about Brute Bernard. How well did you know him, and what was he like outside of the ring?
Brute was a character. I mean, not quite the character out of the ring that he was in, but he was nonetheless a character. I worked with Brute quite a few times. He would get caught up in a match. He could get a little dangerous at times, but Skull Murphy made a lot of money as a tag team there. But Brute was, he was a different from a different breed. But I'll tell you the worst thing, Larry, is he chewed raw garlic. And
oh my goodness.
So if he decided to bite your nose or get close to your face, you knew Brute was in the building, and there was no two ways about it.
That's hilarious, yeah. Well, thanks for taking my call, and you guys have a safe holiday next week, and we'll see you soon.
All right, thanks, man. Thanks for being a listener.
Thank you very much. As you keep rolling on the line here, we got Jeff also in Florida. Jeff, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing all right. How are you guys doing?
We're hanging in there, buddy.
That's good. I had two questions for you, Les. I had asked Bobby Simmons this question a couple weeks ago, and I was going to try to get your take on it. What is harder to do, put together TV or put together a house show?
Oh, wow. With TV, you've got a time frame, you know, Georgia was obviously 2 hours, but, you know, most of the old TV shows were an hour. So within that time frame, you're working minutes-wise, so maybe it's a little tougher to put a house show together because, you know, you're trying to judge how much time you want in a match and how much you want to leave for your main event and, you know, the two guys in this middle match that's in the middle of the card, you know, can they get you the 20 minutes you need, or do you need to cut it at 15? And, you know, there's a lot of unseen things. But I'd say the house show is probably, you've got time restrictions on the TV. So if you're running on a format like we always did, then that's probably actually a little bit easier. I don't know what Bobby thought, but I think the TV is probably easier to put together than the house show. What did Bobby think?
He said that he didn't really put together a house show, so he couldn't, you know, speak on that. But he said you know, once you figured out, you know, your running time for the TV show, it became pretty easy to put together.
Yeah.
Just like what you said. And then my other question, I hope that you can remember this far back. What kind of ratings was Southeastern Wrestling pulling in their different markets down, you know, in the Mobile, Dothan, Birmingham, Montgomery areas? Do you recall that?
You know, I do not remember the numbers. Charlie Platt would be more attuned to the numbers in Dothan. I didn't handle that part of the TV down there up in Knoxville. In our time slot, 2 to 3 on Saturday afternoon in Knoxville, we carried the market consistently. To give you an example, one time the ABC affiliate, we were on CBS, did a live broadcast from South Bend, Indiana, where the University of Tennessee football team played Notre Dame. It was the first time these two teams had met in years. And the best they could do in that 2 to 3 o'clock time slot against us on Saturday was tie us. They did not beat us. And if you realize that Knoxville is the home of the University of Tennessee, and when the Vols play, the world comes to a screeching halt. Otherwise, the fact that we were able to tie them in that hour, we were elated with that. So, you know, our numbers were strong in that market. And we were good up in the Tri-Cities area, too, Kingsport, Johnson City, Bristol. So it was, but I don't know about Dothan. Dothan was, obviously Dothan drew well, so it was, you know, the numbers had to be pretty daggone good.
Well, I appreciate you guys taking some time to answer my questions, and you guys have a good weekend.
All right, you
hey,
too.
You
thanks
too.
For calling.
All right, thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Hey, Bless, was there ever a number, and I know we're running out of time here, but I know, you know, obviously knowing what the Georgia numbers were for Cincinnati in that area, was there, no matter who you worked for or no matter what time frame it was there ever a number that you saw on a book from a town, you know, the furthest town away where you shook your head and wondered if it was a typo, you couldn't believe, you know, how strong you were, so, you know, no matter where you were, say,
well,
Charlotte, if you saw a number in Baltimore or whatever.
Where I had more access to total numbers, Mike, is when we were putting together a promotional packet in the Charlotte office in the mid-70s, and the number that always sticks in my mind is in Asheville, North Carolina, in a three-station market, we carried 85% of that market during our time slot. Now stop and think about that. That leaves 7.5% for each of the other two stations during that hour.
That's it's like Memphis. That's a no, because everybody looks at Memphis, and as well they should. But I remember right when they were ending wrestling on WMC, I think it was the first time around, I called the station. They had a PR person. Everybody was calling, so they were ready. You know, it's like Beale Street and Barbecue, and they would talk about the numbers that they did. In a place like, I mean, in Memphis, again, it's not the biggest city in the world. It's a big city. Asheville at that time, I mean, that's an incredible number. That's an incredible number, and I think it's, you know, it's telling of what pro wrestling is missing and what is missed over time. It's like that Tennessee game. It didn't matter if there was the biggest sporting event in the world going on. There are some people that don't like football, and all of those people were watching the wrestling program. If you were watching the football game, you were watching the wrestling program, and those numbers are just remarkable. Absolutely.
Yeah,
remarkable.
Well, you know, and part of it is obviously a credit to the bookers that gave you that kind of programming that you felt you shouldn't miss it, you know. I do remember that there was at one point in Georgia, now I wasn't there at the time, but I remember somebody telling a story where TBS, well, it wasn't TBS time, it was before TBS, it was, you know, what, Channel 17 or whatever it was. They had put the show on at midnight for some reason on Saturday and taken it out of its normal time slot, and somebody had told me that some lady had written got to realize this is back before, you know, DVR and VCRs and that sort of thing. You couldn't tape a show. And this woman had written in and told him that she had changed her lifestyle. She had gone to bed like Saturday evening, set her alarm clock to get up to watch Georgia Championship Wrestling.
Hey.
You know, and then went back to bed. So, I mean, you know, it, and of course, like I mentioned, the actual, the 85% in the three-station market. There was no cable at the, you know, or cable was in its, well, no, back then, it probably just barely in its infancy and not in those markets. So, you know, today, like here in Cincinnati, you've got five local stations plus all the, you know, virtually every home's got cable or satellite or something. So there's so much competition that those kind of numbers are never going to happen again. But again, part of it is if you've got something that people think in their mind, I can't miss this, then they're going to tune in.
Hey, well, we're running out of time here. I do want to mention Ringside Wrap, ladies and gentlemen, .com for all of your news and information needs and keep you up with the show. Well, if you're on Twitter, at Ringside Wrap, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, and, PGA Pandemonium tomorrow has Jay French, who was on a couple weeks ago with us, talking about his Shane Carvo book, Professional Wrestling Shooter, which is available right now through Amazon.com and actually through the RingsideWrap.com website as well. We're going to be off next week, but then coming back on July 11th with Mike Mooneyham, actually filling in for Les that week, and we get to talk to Tim Hornbaker about his brand-new book, which I actually have right here. I just got it in the mail, and it's great. The National Wrestling Alliance book was fantastic as far as being just a great reference tool, packed with so much information, and we'll talk about that. But we're also going to talk about his new one, Legends of Pro Wrestling, 150 Years of Headlocks, Body Slams, and Pile Drivers, which, again, I think is going to end up going down. It's a great book to get for a wrestling fan, just as a guide throughout the years. I mean, he starts with Americus, for God's sakes, and goes all the way up to Austin Aries and TNA today. So a great book, and we're going to be happy to talk to him about that. And I want to thank Simon Ware over at ECW Press for being so great to us as he's off to pursue some new endeavors here very, very soon. So we're going to keep in touch with him, too, and hopefully talk to him at some point down the line, too, and all the great stuff he was able to do for us. So, Les, what do you got coming up here this week?
Well, excuse me. I'm going to be up in Waynesville, North Carolina, the 4th and 5th of August. At the Smoky Mountain Championship Wrestling Arena. We're doing some training on Saturday and Sunday. And if anybody is interested, they can call KC Thunder at 828-707-4548 to get more information and all that sort of stuff. And then I had a good conversation with Woody at Deep South Championship Wrestling and up in North Georgia this week, and we don't have the dates locked in. I've got to wait and find out about my travel schedule with the new company, but looks like we're going to do a weekend up there, probably the second weekend in October at their training center and arena, and September 14, 15, 16, we're going to be in Edmonton, Alberta for Vance, Nevada, and I don't know where the hell else I might end up being, Mike. But I'm going to keep. But I'm looking forward to it. It's, you know, I'm going to keep busy with wrestling, and so, you know. And if you're interested in, we don't have our WCA website up yet. We hope to get that up. Wrestling Cares Association ASAP. But if you want to contact me, it's les@epwt.com, and look forward to doing some more camps and looking at some talent to use out in California after the first of the year.
Hopefully you'll see me on ROH TV for the next month.
I do want to mention that Doc Young is going to join Vic and I on the show Saturday.
Awesome.
And for those who are going to listen, his voice is not, you know, but it's going to be the first time since he's been diagnosed with his illness that he's going to be back with us, so he's going to check in with us for a little while.
Cool, and as I was saying right before that, too, hopefully I get to go to Ring of Honor and hopefully I get to team up with Bob Evans and slap around Lance Storm and Todd Martin. So hopefully I can make
sure
that.
Gonna go to, are you going to go to the Friday?
I'm trying to, yeah. I hope so. It's going to be a random finding out Monday.
Vic is going. Vic Socha is going, the guy that shared, co-hosts the Doc Young Show with me on Observer. So,
nice.
Yeah, maybe you guys can hook up, introduce yourselves to one another.
Oh, that'll be great. And, yeah, I haven't met Lance before, obviously, you know Bob. So, hopefully that'll be awesome. And then Wrestling Observer Live this coming Sunday. Sirius, all these places. Just go to sportsbyline.com or WrestlingObserver.com. To find out the information on that 6-8 with Brian Alvarez and Adam Mike Big Audio Nightmare just went up on the F4W website for members. And I think that's about it. So let's have a good 4th of July, man, and I'll talk to you in 3 weeks here now.
Right, yeah, because I'm going to be down at OVW on the 11th. So, yeah, we'll talk to you in a couple weeks. You have a good one too, Mike.
You guys too, and everybody out there, be safe. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
For listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.